to talk about micro versus, how many people took economics in college? See, so y'all all know this stuff, right? The issue is this with respect to wealth. Wealth is a macro concept, okay? All of the individual efforts are individual efforts. They are micro in nature. You cannot change a macro concept with micro strategies.
So if we're going to start to talk about wealth, we need to know how much wealth there is in the United States of America. There is $100 trillion worth of wealth in the United States of America. $100 trillion worth of wealth in the United States of America. Let's take a look at how it's broken up. There's $34 trillion in households. There's $13 trillion in non-financial, non-corporate, basically small businesses. There's $36 trillion is the market value of all of the corporations in the United States of America. $36 trillion market value, and we know that $1 trillion of that is Amazon. Okay, so keep that's important. That's important. If you have one company that's 1/36 of the total, it implies that they control your lives in a way that we haven't seen before. It's important. And then, $14 trillion in federal, state, and local government assets. Everybody talk?
All right, now so here's where we fit.
For every dollar of white family wealth, black families have 10 cents. If you take out automobiles, black families have 2 cents. 2 cents for every dollar of wealth that white families have.
Now,
we've talked a lot about buying power. The thing you gotta understand is two things. Number one, buying power is a concept that relates to income, not wealth. Income, not wealth. And the $1.3 trillion in black wealth that everybody is talking about, we're short by about $1.2 trillion. I'm calculating that based on the total spending in the country, and if black people, 13% of the population, if we had 13% of that spending, it would come up to $2.2 trillion. We have $1.2 trillion. That difference is pure white supremacy and white racism. That's all it is. All right, so here's the breakout by race. White families have a median wealth of $171,000. Asian families have median wealth of $64,000. Hispanic families have median wealth of $20,000. And black median wealth is $17,600. The reason I put this slide up is because of the Hispanic slide. All right? They just got here, and they got more wealth than we do. Once again, I ain't mad at any wealth. But the point is that shows, that proves that racial discrimination and white supremacy is the main driver of the wealth gap. That's all it is. Because if it wasn't, their median wealth would be lower than ours. Ours would be higher than theirs. But it's not. So next slide, please. All right, again, this is no accident. The system is designed to benefit whites. How do you know this? Family characteristics, marriage rates, education, and differences in ability do little to explain the black-white wealth gap. Little to explain it, okay? And racism is focused on black men. It's focused on black men. It has been historically because the black-white income gap is driven entirely by differences between black and white male income and occupational prospects over the course of a 40 or 50 year career. That's how you get, and it's generational. It goes back years and years and years and years and years and years. That's how you get this white, black-white welfare gap, and again, you can be sure because Hispanic Americans are moving up the income distribution. Across generations, black Americans are not. It's all the evidence you need. Next slide, please. All right, now we get to the tough part. Again, I'm just the numbers guy. I'm going to tell you kind of what the deal is. Number one. Growing black businesses cannot affect the black-white income gap and wealth gap in any meaningful sense over the long term because black businesses and banks cannot thrive on a separate and unequal playing field, okay? Number two, Single motherhood, it's family. Everybody talks, well, you know, black people, you need to stop having all these babies. Look. Single motherhood is a reflection of inequality. It's not a cause. Okay, it's a reflection of historically what's been going on. So you can't look at family structure and attribute the black-white welfare and wealth and income gap to that. You can't, okay? Number three, at education. At every level of educational attainment, I have a master's in economics and an MBA in finance from the University of Chicago. My income is lower than my white, firstly, there are no white guys that have both degrees. All right? I started that program, right? But even the guys degrees, the white guys make a lot more money than I do. A lot more money. So what that shows you is that, and it's not just me, I'm looking at the macro numbers, at every level of educational attainment, black families' median wealth is substantially lower than their white counterparts. And then finally, home ownership. Home ownership is important. No question about it. These are individual efforts, however, they will not move the macro needle. You know that because among households that own a home, white households have $140,000 more in net worth than comparable black households. Okay? It's a system, people. It's a system. No matter what you do, it's designed to keep you below white people with respect to wealth. Next slide, please. All right, and yeah, this is another tough slide. I'm just warning you. Emulating successful minorities will not close the racial wealth gap. One of the reasons is that how many people live in neighborhoods where they have these Chinese chicken joints, you know? They came into our neighborhoods, created these businesses, hired their own people, didn't share any of that wealth with you, no employment opportunities. So you can't, unless you're going to do that, you can't use emulation as a successful strategy. Small business, entrepreneurship. Also, black people own businesses in terms of percentage of wealth. It's about 7% of black wealth. For white people, small businesses represent about 14% of their wealth. So entrepreneurship is not the answer, all right? Soft skills. They talk about, you know, oh, well, black people need more personal responsibility. No. That's just not going to do it at a macro level. At a micro level, yes. Be personally responsible. No question about it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just a numbers guy. I'm just looking at the broad stuff, okay? So that's not going to do it. And then saving more. Black people are already master financiers. Master. We turn a dime into a dollar more frequently than any other group. Better than any other group. So saving more is not going to do it. Now, let me tell you what I think will work. Go to the next slide, please. All right, so here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that none of this will work in terms of closing the black-white wealth gap without a strong legal strategy. And when I say strong legal strategy, what I mean is employment. EEOC worked in the 60s and 70s to significantly increase black male employment opportunities. They got Clarence, Uncle Tom, Clarence, with Clarence Thomas. He came in and destroyed the EEOC. That's what he did. And when you started to see black male occupational opportunities turn around very quickly, very dramatically, during his entire term there. That's why they made him a Supreme Court justice. So what you need to do is to repair that debt. So that's what I would say, all right? And the other thing you need to do, enforce the civil rights laws that already exist across the board. Home ownership, finance, schools, everything. We have the laws. The laws are on the books. We know that they're simply not being enforced, okay? Finance too. Now, in terms of finance, what's the financial strategy? Credit unions. Banks are not going to help you. Banks, black, white, look, I know Dewell Mitchell. My father graduated from Howard University, and the place that he went to get his first small business loan to open his architectural company was Industrial Bank of Washington. because they were tied to Howard University. And when you graduated from the dental school or from the medical school or from the architecture school, what you used to do is you used to go down there to, 14th and U, where their branch is, and you'd go in and see Doyle Mitchell Sr. And he would take a look at your degree from Howard University and he would make you a loan so you could hang up your shingle if you were a doctor or a dentist or a lawyer or an architect. That no longer happens. That no longer, and we know Howard is going, is Howard majority white kid? But it's going, right? Y'all know I mean. I was up there about a month ago. The demographics of the school and the neighborhood have changed. And it's going to continue to move in that direction. That's all I'm saying. So, credit unions. Credit unions are fairer institutions with respect to black people. Credit unions are fairer institutions. The National Credit Union Administration is the place to go to get a list of all of the credit unions in the United States. I'm suggesting that black people put a lot of focus on credit unions. Now, the last thing is, we need a platform. We need a media platform, right? We know that Trump has one. It's called Fox News, you know? And it is now the most popular media network in the country. How did Fox News start off? They started off, but how did Fox start off? By broadcasting Living Single, right? Right? They created that network on the basis of black participation and black consumers. And then they used that platform to basically deny us rights. So we need to actually look at, I'm just suggesting, that we need to look at creating another a platform that specifically speaks to us and speaks to our issues. And it's impossible to close that black-white wealth gap without that type of media representation. Because otherwise, the stereotypes about the lack of black competence will continue to be broadcast. And that will serve to limit the ability of black men to get and exercise occupational opportunity. And then, lastly, buying power. Certainly buying power is important. I'm not saying that it's not important. But we do need to look at a strategy that allows us to partner with institutions that have shown that they've looked out for our interests. One of those institutions is Nike. Nike, you may or may not like it, but Nike has a long track record of supporting African-American male athletes. And we need to look for other opportunities like that in order to enhance our buying power and also show the power that we have in a free markets system. So I think that's about it. I think I'm about done right now. I'm going to head out of here. But I appreciate you. Now, we'll be around. I guess we're doing questions.
Okay. Well, do you want to make a
No.
Okay. Right. I don't want to build it and hurt you. Yeah.
What happens? Do you have to create an organization that starts pushing that way, or do you create a, that's a big task you've laid out there. What does that look like?
Well, the first thing you have to do is know that you have a problem. So simply being in rooms like this and having a divergence of opinions about the problem, but at least having that conversation in an honest, open way, in a space which is relatively safe. I mean, and as you know, safe spaces for black people are shrinking. So this is Starbucks, Philadelphia. So this is part of the issue. Then the other thing I think you do is that, you know, partnering with National Credit Union Administration, if you're going to go the credit union strategy route, to both get more black credit unions created, but also to incentivize the existing credit unions to reach out to black customers. That's one of the things I would do. On the media platform side, I would have a hackathon where you bring in a bunch of these young, I go to a lot of hackathons around blockchain, Bitcoin, you know, other technologies, and I've seen how they have worked. And I think you bring in a bunch of young people, do it at Howard University, you know, do a black media platform creation hackathon at Howard University. You get somebody to put up a $1 million prize, and you say, we're just looking for good ideas. If you agree that we need our own independent black media platform, and that online is the way to do it. I think those would be some of the steps. On the home ownership side, energy efficient mortgages. Energy efficient mortgages. It's something that we came up with back in 2002. The idea is that black homeowners live in houses that are energy inefficient. So to the extent that you can make those properties more energy efficient, then your operating cost goes down. It might only be a couple hundred dollars, but that matters. That matters, you know? And that also reduces the probability of loan default, right? Because you have $200 more than in terms of the mechanics, in terms of how the finance, the numbers work, you know? Basically, it means that you should qualify for a lower interest rate because the default, the risk, has gone down.